Please open in your Bibles to the Epistle of 1 Peter, looking at chapter 3 this morning, verse 7. As you noticed in your bulletin this morning, we'll have a word to the husbands. And that doesn't mean that everyone else can tune out if you're not married or if you're a wife. Wives, I pray that you would pray for your husbands as we look at what your husband is called to be. Young men, if you're not married yet, I pray that you would consider what's said today, that you would try to model your life after the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace. Young women, as you seek to find a godly spouse, find one who would love you like Jesus Christ. And pray for him, even though you may not know him yet, that his life would be transformed even now. So please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Gracious Father, we pray that you would do a work today by your word and by your spirit, that you would change us, you would make us more like your son, you would help the men here who are married to live like Jesus Christ, to love like Jesus Christ by your grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that work in us. Be merciful to us, we pray. And we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Uh-oh, Pastor. Looks like you're going to beat on the husbands this week. Oh, I looked at the sign outside the building, and I imagine the wives are going to want to drag their husbands to worship this week. These are some of the comments I heard as we were approaching this topic, and I found them pretty entertaining. And while I hope the husbands have come freely, willingly, to the worship service, and while I do hope to do a little bit of I guess sanctified swinging at at the husbands today, I do ultimately pray and hope that the Spirit of God will work. I really hope that He will work in our hearts as men, as husbands, to love our lives like Jesus, that He would change us. I first want to spend some time explaining this passage, verse 7 from 1 Peter chapter 3. Consider the words that Peter uses here, what he's trying to say, by the phrases that he uses, and then after that, spend the rest of the time looking, with the help of Ephesians chapter 5, how it is that we will go about loving our wives like Jesus from this passage and from Ephesians chapter 5. And at the end of the day, that's really what this is all about. Husbands living and loving like Jesus. And so let's look first at what Peter has to say here. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, husbands live with your wives. And that might seem like an obvious thing that we need to do. We need to live with our wives. We ought not to be living in two separate places, in two different locations, but we are to live with our wives. But what Peter means by live with is far more than just living in the same house or being roommates or being ships passing in the night but in the same home. But as he uses this phrase, he's drawing language from the Old Testament that has to do with living out your relationship with the person that you're with. And most specifically, in the context of marriage, to live out your marriage with your wife. So live out that covenant union, that covenant relationship that you has been established in your home. Live together, work together, think together, act together. Live out your marriage together in your home. Peter goes on to say, live with your wives in an understanding way. And this is more than just having a knowledge, factual knowledge about things of your wife. Like she's this tall, she has this color hair, this is her favorite food. But when he uses this language, it has more to do with the type of relationship you have, more to do with the personal insight that you would have as a husband about your wife, a personal insight that would lead to loving and considerate care for your wife. So having an understanding of how she responds to your affections and how you can best elicit the affections of her heart, How does she best respond and understand the language of love that you could demonstrate to her? Do you understand her hopes, her fears, her anxieties, the things that she hopes for her family and for the relationship she has with you? Try to investigate your wife. Live with her in an understanding way. Try to understand her and not just assume that your thoughts and feelings are as the same as your wife, or that hers are the same as yours. I guarantee you they're not. And God has done that on purpose. He's given you a wife whose thoughts and feelings are different than yours, so that when you approach situations and circumstances, you have a fuller orbed picture of what life is to be like, what it is to live out your life together from both perspectives, to see things in a fuller way so you live with understanding. Peter goes on to say that we are to show honor. It's paying all fitting honor, all due honor to our wives for who they are and what they do. Granting your wife the proper respect that she deserves. It's not to run her down with your words or with your actions. When we think of this idea of submission and wives subjecting themselves to their husbands, it can immediately put in our minds the idea of servanthood. Servanthood in the lowest sense of the term, that our wives exist to serve us. Especially when we consider the context here of it coming right after of servants obeying their masters. And wives are called to be subject to her husbands. Immediately we could start thinking, oh, well, I'm, you know, the ruler of the home. Therefore, all those who are in my home are supposed to submit and subject themselves to me as my servants. They exist to serve me. But that's not the picture that the Scriptures paint for wives in the home or that relationship. Yes, the Scriptures paint the husband as the head, the authority, as the king, if you will. But that doesn't mean those who live in his home are the subjects. But the wife should be considered more as the queen of the home. One who is equal in value and worth and honor and glory along with the husband. And so we kind of joked last time about wives calling their husbands Lord, like Sarah called Abraham Lord. I said, well, that's not the cultural context of our day. But if you insist on pressing that on your wives, I'll grant that to you, so long as you call your wife Your Majesty. Address her as a queen if you want her to address you as a lord, because she is a queen in your home, and you show her all due honor and respect in that way. She is a queen, but Peter also recognizes that she is a weaker vessel. And this is a hard word for our day and age to hear. Our culture does not like to hear that women are the weaker vessel. And the words that Peter uses here in the context of the whole Scriptures is not saying that women are somehow weaker spiritually, mentally, morally, or in their consciences. No, Peter has in mind the physical aspect of creation. Women as created physically as compared to men. It's very obvious and evident that men are stronger physically than women, and that's what Peter has in mind here. But the reason he points it out is because men are stronger, therefore it places women in a more vulnerable condition and situation in this world and in the culture. At that time, and pretty much throughout most of history, women have been taken advantage of because of the strength of men. Men have been able to physically bend women to their will to make them do what they wanted to do. And there was no recourse to fight back. There's no recourse to do anything else. And as much as we think things are okay today because we have laws against these things and our culture is more sophisticated and noble and cultured, I'm sad to say there is still far too much physical power being applied against women, either physically or sexually, to bend them to the will of men. It ought not to be so. And that's what Peter is calling us to mind here. To remember not to use our physical prowess, our physical ability to force women in our lives, especially our wives, to our will. And I hope and pray to God Almighty that there are no men here who are using their physical strength to bend their wives to their will, physically or sexually. But brothers, we also need to be on guard that we can use the power of our voices as well as we interact with our wives. And we need to be very careful how we do this. How easy it is and how we like to use the strength of our presence, the power of our voices to silence things when we want things to go our way. We do this a lot with our kids, don't we? They're out of control, or they're bouncing around the house, or they're not listening to us. What do? We raise our voice, slam the table, silence. And we think we've won. But all we've done is put fear in their hearts. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak with authority. Sometimes it needs to be loud just so they can hear us with our children. But may it never, ever, ever be so with your wives. Remember, you are to show her honor. She's a queen in your home. You may not speak to her in such harsh and powerful ways, but with gentleness and respect. Because, as Peter says, he gives us two motives here as to how and why we should live this way. The first thing he says is they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Peter points out that both husband and wife, as believers in Jesus, share a common salvation. They're both recipients of grace and inheritors of the kingdom of God. So that when you look at your wife, or when you speak to your wife, you look at one, you speak to one who is the apple of God's eye. You speak to one for whom God has shed His precious blood in His Son to redeem her from death and bring her to everlasting life. You speak to one, you look at one who, from God's perspective, His eternal perspective, her salvation is already completed in His sight. She's been raised up, has been seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. And when God looks upon her, He sees someone who is radiating the holiness and the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ, His righteousness in her. That is the one with whom you live. She is the one who is in your home. And so Peter says, live out your marriage with your wife in an understanding way, showing her honor. Because there's a queen of glory living in your home. Live with her in this way. Be gentle to her because of who she is. The second reason he gives us to live with her in this way, live with our wives in this way, is so that our prayers would not be hindered. There's two aspects to this. First, it has to do with our prayers with one another, prayers between husband and wife. I'm pretty sure experience would tell you that it's very difficult to pray with your wife when you're living in strife, isn't it? Because prayer necessarily requires you to be humble and to go with repentance. It's a very hard thing to pray with one another when there's strife in your marriage, or whenever you have not dealt with her justly, or you have not treated her in an understanding way. Your prayers are hindered with one another. But there's also a sense in which your prayers with God are hindered. Not that God will cut you off and will not listen to you. He will not do that because you are in Jesus Christ. The Father will always listen to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand when we live in disobedience, when we live contrary to God's will, the Scriptures teach us that God can turn His fatherly displeasure on us. And that can affect the way we perceive our relationship with the Father. We may not want to go to the Father in prayer because our sin has made our hearts cold and numb. We don't want to go to Him. And so our prayers are hindered because we don't go to the Lord in prayer. And what a sad state of affairs that is. Because prayer is one of the primary ways to build intimacy in your relationship with God and with one another. And so you treat your wife, you live with your wife in an understanding way, showing her honor, being gentle and respectful to her because of who she is, and so that your intimacy with her and with the Lord can be maintained and cultivated. As I said, I wanted to look at some of the phrases that Peter uses in this passage, try to explain them, give us an understanding of them. But now I want to go on, switch gears a little bit, to talk about how we can live with our wives in an understanding and honorable way, what that looks like. And when we think about that, the Scriptures direct husbands to live with and love our wives as Jesus loves the church. In Ephesians, Paul specifically calls husbands to act as Christ toward their wives. That's how we're to live with them and to love them. And so if you would, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at verses 24 and 25, 26 and 27. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 24 and following, "The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything." We looked at that last time. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church." Husbands, you are to be like Christ to your wives. You are His representatives, as it were, in the home. And the greatest way to love your wife is to exemplify the character and love of Jesus Christ, the love He has for the church. And I don't think we have a better picture of this than Christ's work on behalf of the church, what He did for her. And that's what I'm going to look at the rest of our time here this morning. Husbands, I want you to see Christ's work for the church as the pattern for the way in which you can love your wives. And we'll look at three main aspects to this of Christ's work for the church. And typically we call it Christ's mediatorial work for the church, the way in which Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king for the church. It's in these ways that Jesus has loved His church. And we'll look at how we can embody these roles as husbands to our wives. So first, let's consider how we can love our wives like Jesus, our prophet. And when you think of what a prophet is, what his main role is, we need to remember that the prophet's main calling is to communicate God's will and God's word to God's people. That's what Moses did, that's what Isaiah did, and this is what Jesus did. Jesus communicates His Father's word to His church as a prophet. And brothers and sisters, it's this precious act of love that Jesus performed to you to give you the gospel. He spoke the word of God to you, enlightened your eyes to the knowledge of Christ that you would be saved. That you would see that Jesus came to earn salvation for you through His life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Jesus, as your prophet, spoke those words to you, and you were saved. What a precious act of love. And beyond that, Jesus continues as a prophet, bringing His word and will into your life to transform you, to make you more like Him, that you would be sanctified, that you would grow in your holiness. Christ shows love for you as a prophet who transforms you by His word. And this is just what Paul says he does in Ephesians 5. Paul tells husbands to love their wives like Christ. Listen to what he says. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." So in this passage, Paul speaks of Christ the prophet loving His church by cleansing her with the word. And husbands, this is what we are called to do as well. We're called to love our wives by fulfilling our role as a prophet, so to speak, who washes and cleanses our wives by the very word of God. And there are two main ways that you can do this, two main ways in which you can love your wife like Jesus Christ, your prophet. And the first is to engage her in the word of God. Love your wife like Jesus, your prophet, is to lead her into the very Word of God. And so read God's Word together at some point during the day. Help her grow in her knowledge of Christ and His Word. Draw application from the Scriptures to apply it to her life as you read. Apply it to the circumstances in which you find yourselves. And there may be times when your wife finds herself in a difficult circumstance or has to make a decision. She doesn't know what to do. You love like Jesus, your prophet, when you lead and guide her into the truth, bringing to bear the wisdom of the Scriptures and to aid her in her circumstances, help her to see things, to guide her in her decisions, It's an important thing. It's a loving thing to spend time with your wife in the Word. But also allow her own time in the Word. Your wife's day may be very full and hectic and busy, but you can show her love by taking what responsibilities you can to relieve her long enough so she can spend time in the Word of God for herself. So you love like Jesus, your prophet, when you engage her in the Word of God. The second main way you do this, you love like Jesus, your prophet, is to speak like Jesus, your prophet. This means you speak to her and about her as Christ the prophet speaks to and about his church. So first of all, this obviously means that you never lie to your wife. You always speak the truth. Secondly, out of love, you do not belittle your wife with your words, but you show her honor, as Peter says. You do not belittle her with your words, not in front of her or in front of your children or before your friends or co-workers. You must guard against the sinful tendency of only seeing your wife's shortcomings and commenting about them to her or to others, or comparing her with others. Instead of speaking discouraging or belittling words to or about your wife, you love her thirdly by commending her and encouraging her, building her up with your words. Proverbs 31, when speaking of the godly wife, says of her husband that her husband also praises her. And so take notice of the things that she does. Take notice of the ways in which she works, the things that she does for you, to serve you, to please you, what she does with the children. Acknowledge these things. Thank her for these things. Do a little sanctified bragging, as it were, with your friends and family members about your wife. Lift her up in the esteem of others. Another way in which you can love her by speaking like Jesus, your prophet, is by comforting her by your words. Jesus, through the Scriptures, as our prophet, comforts us in our affliction. He gives us hope, gives us security. So when your wife is hurting or discouraged or sad or fearful, I find myself doing this. Do you maintain a stoic attitude, matter-of-fact disposition toward her, speaking in a very bland or cold manner, reminding her, well, you know, it's just life. We just got to get through it. I do that a lot. That's not very comforting. It's not very helpful. Comfort her with your words. Remind her of God's promises to her. His sovereignty in and over her life and circumstances. Remind her that He is forever good to her. He's always faithful to her. Encourage her with hope. Remind her not only of her love for her, but of your love for her. This is just one other way you can love your wife by speaking to her. And it's simply to tell her that you love her. Time and time again, Jesus tells us through the Word of God of His love for us. He didn't simply perform His act of love and then just let us just hope and think that He continues to love us. But He continues to reassure us in His Word of His love for us. And so husbands, don't think that you don't need to say, "I love you," to your wife, because she should just somehow know that you love her. The words "I love you" should not be strangers on your lips. It shouldn't be reserved for special occasions or when asked by your wife, "Do you love me?" "I love you" are words that should commonly be heard around your home. One final way in which you love your wife in your speech as a prophet is in the tone and flavor of your words. Never speak harshly to your wives. Never raise your voice to your wife, even in times of correction or rebuke, in which you're calling your wife to live more consistently with the Word of God. Never speak bitter words to her. In the parallel passage of Colossians 3:19, Paul says husbands are not to be harsh with their wives. That word in the Greek has to do with something that's bitter in taste. He says, don't do anything that's bitter in taste. And I find it so interesting that the Word of God is spoken by the prophet in the Old Testament as something that's called something that's sweet in taste. Sweeter even more than honey. That's what our words are to be for our wives. Sweet in taste, never bitter, gentle, sweet. So husbands, love your wives like Jesus, your prophet. Secondly, love your wives. Live with them, love them like Jesus, your priest. The second role Christ executes as our Redeemer is the priesthood that He has. Jesus, as a priest, offered Himself once for our salvation as atonement for our sins and redeemed us for Himself. This priestly act of Jesus Christ has ultimately brought us peace with God. Expression of His everlasting love shown toward mankind. This work was done by Jesus on behalf of the church. And it's this particular act of love that Peter calls husbands to exhibit toward their wives. They would give themselves up for their wives. Verse 25 says this. And greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends. And greater love has no husband than he lay down his life for his wife. To love your wife like Jesus, your priest. And you're called to live lives of sacrifice for your wife. And that's not to say you die physically to somehow merit her salvation. That's not what's being talked about here. That's not what Paul is saying. But it's emulating Christ's sacrifice, it's giving up of himself for her. This means you do not live your life for your own good, for your own comfort, for your own pleasure. But you live your life for the sake of your wife. This means your interests, your desires, your comfort, your satisfaction take second place when it comes to your wife. And husbands, I know when you get home from work, you're tired. I know it's been a long day, dealt with very stressful people, stressful circumstances, environments. All you can think about doing is unwinding, relaxing, indulging yourself for once in the day. Trust me, the minds of your wives are in the same mode. They've been in stressful circumstances most of the day, dealing with very stressful little people most of the day. They're of the same mind. And as much as you want to do this, as much as you want to indulge yourself, men, as much as you think you're entitled to a little bit of me time, you must remember your calling to be like Jesus Christ, your priest, to be one who sacrifices himself for his wife, like Christ sacrificed himself for the church. You must die to yourself, pour yourself out for your wives. And friends, I know this is not easy to do. In fact, this is probably one of the most difficult things to do for a human being living in this fallen world to do, to not live for themselves. And this is why we desperately need to beg for the grace and strength of Jesus Christ to do this. We need to give ourselves to Him so that we can give ourselves to our wives. We must give ourselves to God's grace and strength so we can live as He has called us to live, which is to die for our wives. Well, this idea of praying to God brings up the other aspect of Christ's loving work as a priest. Christ forever makes intercession for the church. It's just another way we pray and love our wives, or to pray for them and to pray with them. Lift up your wives before the throne of grace. Pray that she would be strengthened and upheld through the day. Pray that she would be delivered from temptation. Pray that she would grow in her relationship with Jesus. Pray for strength and patience as she has to submit herself to you. That God would give her the grace to do it. Pray for the concerns and troubles and fears that she has. And brothers, this requires that you talk with her. You live with her in an understanding way. Require some investigation on your behalf that you might better know how to pray for her. To listen to her fears, to listen to her concerns and her struggles, not to keep them at arm's length, but to sympathize with her. Jesus, as your priest, took on human flesh that he might live among us, that he might sympathize with us, that he might know what it's like to be one of us so he can better pray for us. So try to understand things from your wife's perspective. Try to live in her shoes, in your mind, as it were, or try to help her do the things that she does to get a better understanding for what it's like to live as she does. Pray with her regarding these things. Pray for her about these things. You love your wife like Jesus as a priest when you pray for and with your wife. One final aspect of this matter of loving your wife like Jesus, your priest, is the priestly duty to lead God's people in the presence of God. Jesus opened up the new and living way into the presence of his Father for worship. And it's in this way that we love our wives as well, by leading them into the presence of God in worship. I'm not just talking about having them come here to worship with you. Although husbands, maybe we can be the men sometimes who take the children out of the worship service and not always let our wives do that, so they could sit in peace and listen to the Word of God, sing the Word of God. Let us take that upon ourselves. But also as we lead in the home, engage in family worship, loving our wives, bringing them before the face of God as you read and sing and discuss God's Word. Husbands, love your wife like Jesus, your priest. Your third role that you play is loving your wife like Jesus, your king. The third and final role that Christ executes is his office as a king. Christ as king lovingly protects and defends his church. He lovingly exercises authority over it. And this exercising of authority, Christ's kingship, is what Paul refers to again in this Ephesians passage, where he says, talks about the relationship between husband and wife. He says in verses 22 and 23, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And so we see in this passage that husbands are to love their wives like Jesus, your king, and that we exercise authority in the way that Jesus rules and is the head of the church. And so as husbands, firstly, this means that we exercise loving authority over our wives. Christ is no tyrant. Jesus is gentle and patient. And that God has granted you the final authority in the home. It's not to be used as some sort of trump card to get what you want or to get your way. Remember, he's given you a queen to work alongside you. As we saw last time when we looked at the wives, we recognized from the wife's mouth pours forth wisdom. So listen to your wife. Work with her in a calm and kind, gentle manner. Do not be a tyrant. The decisions made in the home are made together with your wife. And if you're convinced to make a decision contrary to what your wife thinks, do so cautiously, with humility, and in prayer for peace and unity, being sure not to give the impression that your wife's opinion does not matter or is of lesser value. But humble yourself before the Lord. Secondly, show your wife love like Jesus, your king, in recognizing and encouraging the use of the gifts the Lord has granted to your wife. Be sure to do what you can for your wife to relieve her of some of the overwhelming burdens in the home or at work that she might face, if you can, so that she can express her God-given gifts and talents for the home and for the church, for the kingdom of God. A third way in which you love your wife like Jesus, your king, is by protecting and defending her. This can be done in many different ways. Your wife needs physical protection. She may be trying to do physically more than what she can bear or is capable of doing. So husbands, guard her from exhaustion, either by taking some of her responsibilities upon yourself or gently instructing her to try to not take on so much. But you can defend her as well by standing up for her against criticism and disrespectful remarks of others. This especially needs to be considered whenever we think about our children, when they're concerned. Husbands, how do your children speak to your wives? They have a clear sense that when they speak to their mothers, that they speak to your wife. They're not just addressing their mother, but they're addressing your wife. I'd suggest the next time your child speaks disrespectfully to your wife, that you take it seriously. You defend her. You don't say, you know, that's not how you're supposed to speak to your mom. But you say, listen, that is not how you speak to my wife. You would have a clear sense that she is yours and that you love her and you will defend her against anyone and against anything. They must respect her. Guard her and defend her. You also love her by defending her from harmful influences. Are you aware of the kind of books that she reads or the movies or TV shows that she watches, friends that she may have, which have an overly negative influence in her life? You need to defend her from harmful influences. And I'm not advocating absolute control and overlordship over everything that she does and reads and watches. That's all I'm trying to say. You just need to be aware of the influences in the life of your wife, because it's your responsibility before God to present her without spot or wrinkle, as Paul says. And so if you begin to recognize a negative influence in the life of your wife, go to God in prayer and pray that He would be working in both of your hearts so that you would both see that influence from God's perspective and then caringly, gently, and lovingly speak to your wife about it and express your concern about how such and such influence may be impacting her spiritually. It's your job to defend her from harmful influences. This is where Adam failed in the garden. We talked about this last week in Sunday school. When the serpent crept into the garden and started talking to Eve, Adam should not have just stood there and let this serpent continue to poison her mind. But he should have stepped up, stepped in front of his wife and defended her. Told that serpent to stop and crushed that serpent's head right then and there. He should have defended his wife. And brothers, that's what we are called to do as well, to defend our wives. A word to the wives here. If your husband tries to do this, he may not do it perfectly. He may not do it as carefully or as gently as you would hope. But be careful that you don't respond too defensively. Wait a minute, what are you trying to say here? You trying to say I shouldn't watch this, or I shouldn't read this, or I shouldn't have this friend? Remember, love thinks the best. He's looking out for your soul. And so at the very least, pray for him that he could do it well. But listen and consider your position before God. He loves you and He loves your soul. So give Him some grace. One final way to love your wife like Jesus your King is by serving her. Jesus said that He came into the world not to be served, but to serve. This King of the universe was one that we see kneeling down and washing the disciples' feet. Just because you have the position of authority in your home does not make your wife your servant. But if you would love her like Christ, then you will willingly and joyfully serve her in whatever way that she needs. Remember, she's a queen. Treat her like a queen. There's nothing unmasculine about doing the dishes, about cleaning the house, taking care of the children, going shopping, whatever it may be. When you come home from work or on your day off, ask your wife how you can help her. Ask her what you can do to help relieve the burden of the day. And make sure you're wise about it as well when you do this. I know it might be nice to try to surprise her by doing something around the house, but I found that sometimes this could be more destructive than not doing anything at all, right? Like laundry. I have a terrible problem with laundry. I'm always bleeding this into that or ruining this or damaging that. So be wise about the way you help around the house. Ask her what you can do and then ask her how you can do what it is you need to do. But love your wives like Jesus, your King. Men, to love like this, to love like Jesus, is a high calling. And I don't want you or your wives to think that if you're not loving them in this way, that you don't care for them or you don't love them. That's not what I'm trying to say. I know you love your wives. And wives, your husbands love you. But we need grace to love you better. We want to love you better. We need to live with our wives, truly live with them and love our wives more fully. And if we want to show them the honor our wives deserve more fully, to treat them with the gentleness and respect that they deserve, if we would honor and love those recipients of gospel grace, those daughters of the King, more fully, and have our prayers for them and with them flourish and thrive, then brothers, love your wives like Jesus. Love your wives like Jesus by throwing yourselves before the mercy and grace of Jesus, pleading with Him that He would give you the grace and strength to be who He calls you to be and do what He calls you to do, because we cannot do this on our own. We cannot do it in our own strength. And these daughters of glory deserve far more than our graceless attempts and efforts to love them. But they deserve all the grace that we need to love them. They deserve to be loved like Jesus loves them. So give your hearts, give your love, give your lives to your wives by giving your hearts, your love, and your lives to Jesus Christ. Set your minds on the gospel love that He has shown to you, and by grace, set your love to your wife like Jesus. Husbands, live with and love your wives like Jesus, and plead for the grace to carry it out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need You so badly. We need Your Son's work in our life so desperately. We need Your Spirit to work in us so powerfully to be what You've called us to be. Lord, we want to be holy. We want to be faithful. We want to be right as we walk in this world according to the righteous calling You've given us. We want to be those folks that You have called us and declared us to be, righteous in Your sight. But Lord, this is not just an abstract calling. Lord, You've given us wonderful women to love. Your daughters. Heavenly Father, help us to do it well. Give us mercy and grace to love them as they deserve. Heal brokenness in the homes. Pour out Your love and peace that would surpass our understanding. Help love to cover over a multitude of sin. And Lord, inflame our hearts for You and for the women that You have given to us, that we would love them like Jesus. Help us, O God, we pray. Change us, O God, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.